At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
British Home Secretary Amber Rudd says of Monday's terrorist attack in Manchester that killed 22 and injured more than 60.
Its intention was to sow fear. Its intention is to divide, but it will not succeed.
The secretary also disclosing some details about that suicide bomber who staged the attack. Here's Sharon Reed.
Rudd said Salman al-Baidi was known to security services before Monday's bombing and says he probably did not act alone when he killed 22 people at the Manchester Arena following that Ariana Grande concert.
Meanwhile, three men have been taken into custody, arrested this morning in connection with that deadly attack.
Joy of the gospel.
That the sound is President Trump and Pope Francis emerged from a meeting at the Vatican today, their first ever face-to-face. The president tweeting the meeting was the honor of a lifetime. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger Chicken Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger Chicken Sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. And one of the things that I do is I look up what might be going on in any given month that may be pertinent to good mental health and talk about it on Counselor's Chat. Sometimes what happens is I have some people make suggestions for a show and we'll also do that. Anyway, so it just so happens that May is Family Wellness Month. And I believe this is probably our last program for this May, before June, if I'm correct. And I wanted to talk about healthy families and how to build a healthy family and what family wellness looks like. I think that's that's so important, especially in the in our current time where families or being in a family is breaking down. I don't think, statistically speaking, that there's much of a difference in terms of the rate of divorce. I believe that divorce is still around 45% to 50%. For first marriages, second marriages can be a little bit higher, like 60%. One of the reasons for that is we do tend to marry the same person or the same kind of person. I don't know if I will talk about that much today, but we do tend to go to what is familiar, like the word family. So if my first husband was an alcoholic, then chances are my second husband is a workaholic or a food addict or maybe still an alcoholic or drug addict or pot smoker or whatever. So we do have tendencies to be drawn to the same type of person. The other thing is that I think because our divorce rate has been so high, 50%, and so many people have lived through watching their parents fight and get a divorce, that they are now anti-marriage. And we tend to promote anti-marriage. And I think there's one thing from going from a place where I can accept that someone has had a child out of wedlock, I will say it that way, that we no longer look down on the child, look down on the mother, look down on the father, which I think is a good thing. At the same time, and we love our pendulum swings. So at the same time, we then also go the other direction, which is not only do I accept, I may even glorify, I'm going to use that word, so promote, and I think it's cool to be a single parent. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that and why that actually may not be the best choice, or I'm going to say the healthiest choice. And sometimes people will say to me, you know, you're saying these things and you're putting people in categories, or I am talking not about my, and I will tell you, you know, this is my personal opinion. I will say that when that's necessary. I'm talking to you about things that are statistical through research as a mental health counselor, what I know about families, what I know about healthy families and healthy children that come out of healthy families. So I'm coming from that perspective, not my personal opinion of if I think it's a right thing or a wrong thing. That has nothing to do with this. The reality is this: a healthy family generally speaking raises healthy children. Now, isn't that really what we want? And isn't that our goal as a healthy family, when we have children, to see to it that our children are healthy so they become healthy adults? And that is so important. That is really the goal. A single mother or a single father still has that same goal of raising their children to become healthy adults. One of the things that happens, and we talk about quality time, and quality time is a good thing. And for children, what may be, you know, gee, I could spend a good hour with my children, may not be sufficient. And having two parents helps carry the burden. It gives children good role model on what a healthy relationship looks like. And it's important to know that a healthy family and a healthy family relationship doesn't come automatically. So that is something that I also want to talk about, that there are things that we must do to create a healthy family. Now, a healthy family can be just a husband and wife. It could be a husband and wife and several children. It could be a husband and wife on their second marriage with children from previous marriages. So we could have a blended family. We can have many, many different ways of a family. It could be a family where we have foster children or we've adopted children. It might be that we are living in a family situation where we've got a couple and the elderly parent is living with us and our children, so we may have all that extended family going on. So there's many, many ways in many areas that across the board the way a family can look. A family can be a gay couple that are raising a child. That's also a family. A family can be interracial. A family can be have inter-religious discipline practices. But the key to all healthy family relationships, no matter what type of relationship you have, is the time you spend together. The example that you set with each other and the nature of your relationship. So one of the most important things is communication. I talk about communication quite a bit, but it is one of the main goals of having a healthy family. Through communication, a family provides support, encouragement, and empathy. Through communication, a family can set goals, decide about discipline, find teachable moments. Through communication, healthy families engage in positive and meaning interactions. They genuinely care about each other and communicate that. They share feelings and goals and accomplishments and experiences in love and affection, and use positive words. Healthy families hold family members as top priority and consider their actions, their own individual actions, in the way that they may impact on other family members. Healthy families spend quality time together. And though I said quantity time, you know, quality time, I mean, sometimes we live in families where both people work, or if it's a single parent family, chances are high that, you know, your one parent is working. It's so important that you spend time together. Or if you don't have children, it's still important that you spend time together. One of the best times to do this is having a shared family meal. Now, we live in a time where we've got 2-3 kids, and each one has 7 or 9 sports and school activities and friends and play dates and sleepovers and And the parents are running around like crazy, and there is no time to sit and talk and share and listen and be together. One of the suggestions that I have for families is limit the amount of activities you have outside of the house. And coordinate times so that you have one or two evenings a week and a time on the weekend where you have time together, so that you can share meals together, plan a weekend outing together, go to a religious service together, if that is where you are so inclined. And learn about good communication. One of the things that can happen is we get so caught up in the things that we're doing that we don't really stop and listen. So mom is busy making dinner, and son is talking about a situation at school, and you're going, You're not really listening. You may need to put down your spoon and go and sit and make eye contact with your child, and even maybe with your spouse, make eye contact and sit down and listen. Or you can say, you know what? What you're saying is really, really important. Let me finish getting dinner cooked. And while we're sitting and having dinner, we can talk about this. We could talk about what went on at work or at school. It's really important to give the feedback of saying, I'm hearing what you're saying. I want to hear what you're saying. And I have empathy for your experience. Now, empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy sounds like, well, gee, that's too bad. Yeah, really sucks being you. That's sympathy. Empathy is, wow, that must have really hurt. Wow, I could see how you'd be really angry about that. I'd be frustrated too if I had that same situation going on. So empathy is about identifying with the feelings. Listening and identifying. Whereas sympathy is, too bad for you. You know, I come home, my boss fired me. Oh, too bad for you. Oh, I come home, I got an F on my, oh, too bad for you. I didn't make the goal, you know, on the team. Oh, too bad for you. You must be really disappointed. Healthy families actually set positive examples through empathy and by getting involved. It's very important to be involved. Now, in a healthy family, we have situations where we can have enmeshment. And if I were to draw a picture for you, enmeshment looks like two circles laid on top of each other where you really can't tell one from the other. I like everything you like. You like everything I like. We are one. And that's not a healthy relationship. That's a codependent, enmeshed relationship. Because if I want to do something that I think I might like and you say, no, you can't do it because I don't like it, then I have to give up something that I might like to please you. And that's not healthy. Or we have the relationship where we are so detached that we are, I don't know, heading for divorce, have become divorced, sleeping in separate rooms, not talking to each other. The kids come home, you know, grab a slice of pizza, run up to their room, turn their TV on, eat by themselves. That's detached. That's a detached family. Or a detached relationship. And I've had clients, you know, that one of the questions I ask is, what is dinner time like? I ask that question all the time. Oh, yeah, you know, if the kids come home and, you know, I've made a, you know, like a stew or something, everybody grabs some and they go in their own room or put the TV on and they're, you know, and then everybody eats at a different time. And, well, where's the family time? You know, we have this faulty belief system. Even in our school system, I've talked to teachers, and they're doing things in school such as not teaching the timetables or not teaching syntax and sentence building. So they're not teaching things like adjective and noun and verb. They're not teaching, as some of you know, they're not teaching handwriting. It's all printing. They're saying these things are really not necessary, that, you know, kids will pick up the timetables. They'll pick up how to add and subtract along the way. We don't have to teach them. And this is a misconception, because I only know either what I observe or what I've been taught. And if I'm never taught the times tables, I will never know them. And if they're never put in front of me, I will never learn them. So if I think that my kids are going to somehow, through osmosis, learn about having a healthy family, about having a healthy communication, without teaching them and showing them through example, I'm actually hurting them and hurting my family. One of the things that's very important in a healthy family is discipline. Now, discipline is a difficult word to hear. But discipline doesn't mean taking out the strap. Discipline may mean time out. Discipline is really about being consistent. That means we sit down, and again, there's some flexibility, but we generally sit down to have dinner around 6 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. Generally around 6 o'clock. Everyone needs to be in bed. You know, if you're in school, you need to be in bed no later than 10 o'clock. Or if you are in elementary school, you might say no later than 8:30. So I'm going to be a little flexible. You know, if it's 8:35, if it's 8:15, generally kids push, so, you know, it's going to be 8:45. But, you know, we're going to have some discipline. You know, when you get home, you do homework, and then you can have fun. It's really important to be consistent. So what, even with a discipline style, okay, in terms of using the word discipline to teaching children a lesson, for lack of any other word. I don't like to use the word punishment, but, you know, the timeout. So that I'm going to give you a timeout. You had a chore. The chore was to walk the dog. Came home from school. You didn't walk the dog. The dog piddled in the corner. Okay, so for that, we're going to take away half an hour of watching television. The next day, come home. Dog was not taken out, pedals in the corner, I let it go. Now you need to do the same thing. It's really important to be consistent. Time out, same thing. Be consistent. So in healthy families, we are consistent. This way we always know what to expect, and you know what, that actually creates a sense of safety. It's really important to get involved. Know your children's friends. Host parties for them. Educate them. Set curfews and inform them. Talk about drugs and alcohol and smoking. Now, you don't want to do these things too early on because they're too young. Just like you really don't want to discipline a baby, they're too little. When I use the word discipline, you know. Encourage open dialogue. Have a spot in your house where you have a nice whiteboard, where everybody's schedule is, that you have book bags all lined up, that you've got all the paperwork, a homework spot, you've got the calendar there. You've got a basket there to say, okay, we're all putting our gadgets in the basket so that we have time to sit and talk. No gadgets at the dining room table when we sit and eat. If we're going to watch a movie as a family, no gadgets. If we're going to have time where we play a board game, no gadgets. And Dad, that includes you too, because we have to be examples. So I'm going to take a small break, and I will be back in a few moments with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, and we'll give our sponsors their voice.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The weather for Hunterdon County. It is currently 67 degrees and overcast. We are expecting a high of 70 with winds coming from the east from 10 to 13 miles an hour. Tonight, showers are expected mainly after 1 a.m. with a low of 55. Thursday, tomorrow, showers and possible thunderstorms with a high near 63. And it'll be a little breezy with winds up to 16 miles an hour. Thursday night, more showers likely, mainly before 11 a.m., and then cloudy with a low of 53. Friday, scattered showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. Sunday, chance of showers again with thunderstorms, possibly after 2 p.m. And Memorial Day, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 74. It is currently 12:32.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program, and I am also a licensed professional counselor. And I'm talking about healthy families. So talking about healthy families means that we also have unhealthy families. What will an unhealthy family look like? Well, an unhealthy family may have a lot of arguing. An unhealthy family will have some abuse in it sometimes, or can be very abusive. An unhealthy family may have someone who has some mental illness that has been untreated. So what I mean by that is I might have an anxiety disorder, or I might be depressed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I am an unhealthy parent because I'm getting whatever my disorder is taken care of. Same thing, I might be in a family where my dad is a recovering alcoholic. I can have a healthy family. That's because the adult is doing the healthy thing and seeking treatment for whatever the situation is in their life. A healthy family can have, or an unhealthy family may also have physical illness in their lives. And so that the focus then becomes all about the person that's sick, leaving the other people sort of hanging out there, being uncared for. In an unhealthy family, you may have somebody who's a workaholic. There may be abandonment issues, lack of safety, lack of security. An unhealthy family can have poverty. And a healthy family also can have poverty. So I want to underscore that poverty does not equate to an unhealthy family. Being a single parent does not mean you're going to have an unhealthy family. What it means is that your family may be more fragile towards the unhealthy family. So if I'm a single parent, or if I have poverty, or if I'm a recovering alcoholic, or if I'm struggling with depression, what it means is that I am vulnerable. As an adult, my family is vulnerable, so I need to take extra care to see to it, educate myself. My family might be going through a divorce. That does not mean that I'm going to have an unhealthy family. There are some really good guides and reading material if you're going through divorce and you have children. because you still have to work together as a team to co-parent your children, even through a divorce. It's really important that if that situation is going on, that you still are consistent. It's not healthy if one parent becomes the disciplinarian and the other parent is giving in to the child and giving them toys and whatever they want and stay up late and saying, yeah, you know, your mom or your dad, bad people. This is not a healthy thing. It's not a healthy situation. So sometimes adults decide, you know what, we need to get a divorce. Our relationship has gotten to the point where it's becoming unhealthy for us. We want a healthy family. So we can get a divorce, go our separate ways, have new relationships, and still be healthy parents. That means we are still involved in our children and in their activities. We know who their friends are. We know where they're going. We know what they're doing. We create clear and consistent expectations and enforce them. We talk early and often about drugs and the consequences of drug and alcohol use. We show them that we care about them. We set positive examples for our children. What we want to do is we want to find teachable moments and teach our children things about responsibility and respect. It's so important for children to have chores around the house and to be, again, consistent. So this week, you're going to collect the garbage from the bathrooms and take the garbage out. Next week, you're going to feed the dog. And we're going to switch roles. So one is taking out the child and the other one is, taking out the garbage. The other one is taking out the dog. We're going to switch it. We're going to add things, cleaning out the dishwasher. As they get older, we add chores. They participate in family. And to say, oh, you have an outside activity, we'll let the chore go. Actually, no. You really don't want to do that. Because you're teaching your child to be responsible. It's really important that we are consistent. And that is part of the family structure. That is part of the discipline. You need to make sure, of course, that you meet the adequate food, clothing, and shelter. That's important. See to it that your children are eating healthy, that they are sleeping, that their clothes are clean, that their homes are neat and safe. It's important to address emotional needs. To be present. Don't talk down to your children. Listen to the words that you're using. One of the goals in a healthy family is to teach your children how to have good self-esteem. Well, if I don't have good self-esteem, I sure don't know how to teach it to my children. So I need to learn as an adult how to have good self-esteem. So I can teach my children how to have good self-esteem. In a healthy family, we teach our children things about how to budget money, how to go to the grocery store, how to cook, how to have fun, how to be loving, how to take care of yourself when you're sick, how to tolerate other people. In families, we teach our children things about morals and values. If we are not doing these things, we are actually chinking away at our family system, and it becomes unhealthy. An unhealthy family will end up with a consequence of raising children with issues. Now, we're not going to be perfect. I know that. There's no such thing as the perfect family. But the more education you have, the better. I think that it's really important also within families is to know your child. If we paint a broad brush across everybody in the family, we actually may not be meeting the needs of some. So here's a really good example. If I have two children and I have one child that's an extrovert, loves to be with other kids, loves to play, loves to, you know, go to parties, loves to be on stage, and I have the other child who wants to be in their room and read and color and really likes some downtime and alone time, I may realize that that child is an introvert. So if I'm noticing these things about my children, the way I talk to them, the way I provide some structure for them in their lives, the way I feed them, and I don't necessarily mean food, but I mean feed them with self-knowledge, because I could say to the introvert, what's wrong with you? You don't want to go play with your friends. You have to think about the way I communicate. I need to recognize that child B is an introvert and they need some of their downtime. They like their quiet time. Whereas child A, on the other hand, is not the introvert. I might want to teach that child a little bit about some quiet time and meditation as being important. And I might want to encourage the introvert to get out and be with people a little bit more to learn social skills. But I don't want to put either one down. So the words I choose is really important. So having good self-esteem as a parent is extremely important. Teaching your children acceptance, how to let go. These things are also important. You want to make sure that you create a safe place for them, so that they feel comfortable to come back home from school and talk to you about something that may have happened, where maybe they were bullied or mistreated. You need to be aware in healthy families that there are five areas of abuse. We have physical abuse, and that's all pretty clear. We have sexual abuse in families. It can look like incest. It can look like inappropriate sexual touching. It could mean that we're exposing our children to sexual things before they're ready. It could be making fun of their bodies. Okay? It can be you're the parent and you're walking around naked. And that's not necessarily a good thing either, exposing yourself to your children. It could be about not talking to them or telling them about sex. They'll learn on their own. No, be a parent, be an adult, and sit down with your children and have a discussion when it's age appropriate for them. Maybe when they're 8 or 9. But you know your child and you know your child's development. So there's emotional abuse. And that happens when we tell our children, what are you angry about? I'll give you something to cry about. Okay, when we're not giving them the opportunity to feel their feelings. So, child B wants to go to a party. You say no. Listen, you know what? You haven't been doing your chores, and you knew the consequence because we're consistent here. You don't do your chores. You don't get to go play with your friends. That is a consequence. It's consistent. You know that's what always happens. I know you're angry with me. It's okay. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to have those feelings. In a healthy family, I am going to teach my children how to cope with their feelings. I know you're disappointed. I know you're angry. I know you're sad. I know you're upset. You know also that this is a consequence. So I'm going to have something that sounds more like an adult conversation with them. I'm not going to stand over them. I'm going to get down to their level. I'm going to sit in a chair and have them sit in a chair. And we're going to make eye contact. We're going to be face to face, not face over face. Because if I'm the dad and I am, I don't know, 6 feet tall, and you are the son or the daughter, and you are 3 feet tall, how scary is that? I'm going to come down physically to your level. I'm going to be consistent. I may even sound stern. And I'm going to hold. Okay, that's my discipline. I'm going to hold. I'm going to keep steady. I'm going to be consistent. It's really important to review your expectations regularly with your children. Okay, so we've got sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. We've got intellectual abuse. And so that's when we start telling our children, what are you, stupid? That's when we say to our children, you should know better. You should know better. Act your age. Okay? So that's intellectual abuse. When we are saying, criticizing them for their grade, I expect you. And it's okay to have some healthy expectations. But to say, I expect you to get an A or an A plus all the time, that's not healthy. What I want is I want you to do your best. I expect you to do your best. I expect you to put effort. You may put in a lot of effort and be really struggling with algebra, and the best you can do is get a C plus. I'm good with it. What I want to see is that you are putting in the effort, that you are setting the time aside to study. And I'm going to teach you how to set time aside to study, that you're willing to go ask the teacher for help. I may even say, you know what, as a parent, you're struggling with algebra or struggling with geometry, you're having reading comprehension issues. I'm going to see to it that I'm going to give you the help that you need. If I can't do it myself, I'm going to find a tutor. And then we have something called spiritual abuse. Spiritual abuse happens when we discourage our children from knowing God. Now, you may be an atheist, and your child may have questions about God. So you might say, well, I myself don't necessarily believe in God, but you're having questions, and you have the right to ask those questions. And maybe I will have you talk to somebody that also believes in God. I don't, but that doesn't mean you can't. You hear that? Just because I don't doesn't mean you can't. It's like saying to your child, well, just because I don't like mushrooms means you can't eat them. The other thing, too, where there's spiritual abuse is when a parent sets themselves up to be God. I am the utmost authority in this house. You say and do everything that I demand. Now, that's making it sound like God is a demanding God. I'm not saying that at all. But you are setting yourself up to be the utmost authority in this child's world. Part of developing good spiritual lives for your children is to help them with their curiosity. Help them develop a sense of awe. Wow, look at that sunset. Wow, look at those flowers. My gosh, wasn't that thunderstorm something? Listen to this music. Aren't you moved by it? Giving them that sense of awe, something that's inspiring for them. So, developing healthy families does require some education on your part. So often, we raise our children the way we were raised. And chances are none of our parents had any kind of education on how to be healthy parents. So, we are then prone to make similar mistakes. There's so many books out there. You can even Google how to be a healthy parent. You can look at building healthy families. What does that mean? What does that look like? Like I said, dinner time together. For some families, includes worship time together. For some families, going on vacation together, having outings together, sitting and listening, playing board games, having family time, having a family meeting, have a family corner where you have information about all the different activities that are going on. Limit the activities so that you're not just a chauffeur service, that you are a family who has children that have some activities. Limit the amount of time on gadgets. Use discipline in terms of correction sparingly and responsibly. Be consistent, and remember that discipline is about consistency. Encourage your children to have open dialogue with you about what's going on in their lives and their experiences at school. Again, teach them early about drugs and alcohol and tobacco. Take care of your own issues. See to it that you are eating healthy, that you have healthy relationships. Remember, you are a role model for your children. You are setting the example for what it means for your child to have a healthy relationship. Notice that each one of your children has different qualities, characteristics, and talents. Just because I have three children with my husband doesn't mean they're all the same and they're cookie cutter, you know. So one child might be very talented as an artist, where the other one might be very talented as a musician, and the other one might be very talented in sports. One might be an extrovert and one might be an introvert. I'm not going to scream at my children. I'm going to get on their level. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to have good communication with my spouse, and I'm going to remember that we are a team so that we don't get into what is called triangulation. So I go to mommy. Mommy says, no, I can't have this thing. I go to daddy. Daddy says, I can have this thing. No. Parents, you need to talk to each other. Junior wanted such and such. I said no. Oh, mommy said no. I got to back mommy. Mommy and I are a team. Listen to your children. Show them empathy. Have family meetings. even if it's once a month, where you sit down, you might set some goals, look at the calendar, you know, beginning of every month or the end of the month. Okay, it's the end of the month, it's May or June's coming up, let's take a half an hour, we're going to sit down, we're going to go over the calendar, we're going to list anything that's important, doctor's appointments, you know, graduation parties, you know, Father's Day, we're going to put all that stuff on the calendar. Make sure your children have your phone number in case of an emergency. Get to know the parents of the friends that your children have. Get to know their friends. Get to know your children's friends. If all of a sudden your child's, he's, you know, 13, 14, they, all of a sudden there's some major changes, you might want to think about them getting involved in drugs. So, you know, all of a sudden school things drop and their friends change and their hairstyle changes. That might be a key or a clue. So, anyway, I hope this was useful. Come to the end of Counselor's Chat for this week. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat. You can find me on the web at www.altarollcounselor.net. That's Altaroll with two L's, counselor, O-R.net. You can follow me on Facebook under Counselor's Chat. I've probably gone over time. There's so much to talk about with healthy families. So, again, follow me on Counselor's Chat, and if you have any comments, please make them, and I will be back next week. Have a great week, and wish you good mental health.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists.